Hello and welcome to another edition of Dorset Wildlife Trust podcasts. We're going to take you back to a summer's day on Brownsea Island. We'll be joining Livy, Wardens Chris and Abby, exploring the island and letting you know exactly what it has to offer.
Hello and welcome to the first podcast from Brownsea Island. If you're unfamiliar with Brownsea, it's the largest island in Poole Harbour, famous for its red squirrels, internationally important lagoon, and the birth of the scouting movement. The Dorset Wildlife Trust manages almost half of the islands, which is owned by the National Trust. My name's Livy, I volunteer here, and today I'm here with the reserve wardens, Abby and Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
To discover a little bit more about the reserve. To start with, can you tell us what you do here on Brownsea?
Right, well that's hard to answer because there's no such thing as a typical day. We do all kinds of different activities. Lots of our work involves maintaining the habitats, so there's lots of cutting things down, fencing, path maintenance, hide maintenance, and of course there's also the public, so we're open to the public. Lots of guided tours, school groups, scout groups, all kinds of groups.
Great, let's go in. We're currently in the low hide looking over the lagoon, an area of flooded pasture land reclaimed from the sea in the 1850s. We've got the 19th century castle over to our right and can see the sails of boats passing into Poole Harbour, the other side of the sea wall. And hundreds of different birds are out today. Chris, can you describe the scene on the lagoon?
We're looking at a very shallow, 30 centimetre deep area of open water, but what's really nice about this is it's the most protected part of Poole Harbour. Because the seawall is there and because we ask people to stay off, we've got a sanctuary area that is absolutely full of birds at the moment. In the summer, we're late summer now, you see the nesting tern colony, we've got the black-headed gulls in front of us with lots of young around. And the beginnings of this time of year of the build-up of a huge winter wader flocks, Avocet's black-tailed godwit, I can see 200 or so black-tailed godwit on the sandbar over there. And it's a highly visual spectacle at the moment. Very scenic too, surrounded by reed bed and things. So a really pleasant place to be.
And what makes the lagoon such a haven for waders like the godwits that you can see?
Well, really, it's the sanctuary, I think, more than anything, because a lot of these birds that we can see at the moment are actually using this site to roost rather than as a food supply. Although there's a lot of mud in here at the bottom of this and it is full of invertebrate life, a lot of the creatures that are going to use the lagoon are here to sit out the high tide. So you've got to bear in mind, the lagoon itself isn't tidal, but when the mud flats of Poole Harbour are covered at high tide, particularly on high spring tides, then the birds have to go somewhere, so they sit and roost on here. The terns, the gulls, the people, the birds that eat the fish, tend to catch their fish out in the harbour, sometimes beyond the harbour mouth itself. There's very few fish on here. Pure sanctuary side of it that makes it so important.
Finally, when is the best time to visit the lagoon, and what bird gives you the biggest thrill when you see it for the first time?
Well, always is the best time to visit the lagoon because it changes so much throughout the year. There's actually never, I think, a bad time. In the summer, we've got really close-up views of the nesting sandwich terns around the McDonald High. That's really quite a feature. That's as close as you can get to breeding sandwich terns in this country. It's marvellous. In the winter, huge flocks of birds. And in between, all sorts of different interesting things passing through. My favourite bird, Livy, is actually the black-headed gull. I'm probably the only person in the country that has that as a favourite bird, and the simple reason I think for that is that they're an argumentative, squabbly thing, and they make fantastic noises. And at the beginning of the spring, usually quite early March, the day when you first start to hear black-headed gulls squawking away, you know they're back on the islands, they're showing an interest in setting up territories again. That to me is really the onset of spring. But tell me, what's your favourite bird?
I have to say, that gorgeous copper plumage of the godwits that are out today, it's fantastic. You don't find it anywhere else, and I just love the colours. Remarkable, even from this distance away. I've now walked further down the main path and are standing around the back of the villa, the old vicarage, which is now used as the visitor centre. There's loads of pine trees all around us. So, Abby, can you tell us what we're waiting to see here?
Well, we don't need to wait at all, because there's actually one here already.
Oh,
so, this is a red squirrel. We have a stable population of 200. We know that because it's a very popular student project. So if there are any students out there that want to count red squirrels, we're very welcome to take them. So at the villa, we actually have a feeding platform, and that is, it's a platform which is attached to the back of the building, and there's a pole leading onto a birch tree. So you often see the squirrels run up the tree along the pole and then collect the peanuts or food scraps Perfect. That we put out for them. There's not actually many places left in Britain where you find red squirrels now.
Shall we move on?
Yep, let's go.
We're in the reed bed hide now, overlooking a few hectares or so of open reed beds, subtly tucked away from the main path. You'd hardly know it was here. And friends of mine who visited say it feels like an African plain and have been half expecting a giraffe to appear from grazing in the reeds. But hallucinatory wildlife aside, the reeds do provide great cover for shy British wildlife. What can we hope to see from this hide?
Right, well, this is actually a really good place to see deer. We have sika deer on the island, which are Japanese deer, and they actually are really at home in water. So you'll quite often see them through this channel from looking out from the reed bed hide.
What's that moving in the reeds just there?
It's one of our water voles. Have to be fairly quiet because we'll disturb it otherwise. But they're a common animal here, but they don't give themselves up lightly, so they're really often very hard to see. So we can just see a little bit of movement
of the
brushes at the end of this pond. Really nice thing to see.
The sound of them munching on the reeds.
It's true, it's one of the best ways they ever give themselves away, actually. If you stand quietly around the pools and ponds on Brownsea, and there are quite a number of them around, you often are aware of their presence first because you hear them eating. Bad table manners.
Another bird that you'll find in the reed bed here is the water rail. It's a very shy bird, you don't often see it, but they really like this habitat. They're a little bit smaller than a moorhen. Plumage is a bit more speckledy, a bit subtly different. You're more likely to hear them than see them, and they actually make a strange squealing sound, a bit like a squealing pig. So you're often more likely to hear them than see them, definitely.
There's no mistaking that squeal.
Mm.
Brownsea already plays a vital role for biodiversity through the wide range of habitats here. What are your hopes for the islands in the future?
I think Brownsea is an incredibly rich place. I mean, in terms of the assemblages, it's one of the most important nature reserves on the south coast of Britain. But really, I think our potential is almost untapped at the moment. We're entering into some management agreements and joint work with the National Trust to try and restore the 1950s level of heathland. But an integral part of that is to eradicate rhododendron from the island. It's an invasive plant and has no place in British wildlife. And considering there's still huge hectares of rhododendron to be removed, that just makes it mouth-watering as to what could come back in its stead. And so I think in the next few decades, notwithstanding the fact that the sea levels are going to change, anything like that, I mean, Brownsea is just going to get richer and richer yet for wildlife. It's just fantastic.
So thank you both for your time, and it just remains to say that Brownsea is well worth a visit. I've had a fantastic time here. Hopefully, this podcast will have enticed you to come and visit Brownsea for yourself. We're very easy to reach by public ferries, and we're open every day from mid-March to the end of October. And of course, if you're a member of the Dorset Wildlife Trust, you're privileged enough to be able to visit in the winter months on the reserve open days. The lagoon, especially at that time, really is a treat.
Thank you for joining us exploring Brownsea Island, and we hope you enjoyed listening to our podcast. To keep an eye on what we're doing, follow us on Facebook and Twitter just by searching Dorset Wildlife Trust, and we'll keep you updated on all the latest happenings, events and more podcasts that we have coming in the future. You can also go to our website at www.dorsetwildlifetrust.org.uk. And if you'd like to become a member of the Dorset Wildlife Trust, all the information is also on our webpage.